Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. Well, thank you. It is so glad. I'm so thankful that we have the ability to do this. I'm thankful that we have the opportunity here to go ahead and have our service for Sunday and have it recorded. And I want to tell you, no matter how many times I've done this, this is just weird. I'm looking at an empty room aside from Doug, and I'm so thankful that Doug came in and he's helping me record this, and we're getting this for the podcast that's going to be able to air on Sunday morning for everybody. And I'm very thankful for that, but boy, this is very, very strange to be speaking to an empty room. But before I begin here today, I want to give you a few announcements because we are doing this for a reason, and I want to let you know that going forward, we will have, of course, right after I get finished recording this tonight, I'm going to put out the one call and let everybody know that we are planning on canceling this Sunday. That's why you're hearing my podcast here this morning instead of being in church. So we're planning on canceling that services for the month of March, the rest of the month. We are not going to have Wednesday evening services either. We are also going to wait and go week to week. So it's just one day at a time policy on what we do Sunday mornings and Sunday nights going forward. I should let everybody know by that Friday on what we're going to do for that. But that's the plan right now. Of course, any events that we had scheduled for the month of March have been canceled. That includes the GLOW event on the 23rd, and then on the 24th, the going to Beaverdam Baptist and having the event over there with the Kentucky Baptist Chorale. Actually, Beaverdam Baptist notified us today that that event has been canceled. So these are events that are canceled, and I will have a letter coming out next week. Every church family member should receive this. If you don't, please contact me, but it'll be a letter explaining our plans for going forward and what we have in mind as we look into the days ahead and as we continue to deal with the coronavirus. And so thank you for your patience. Everything's coming together, and I really appreciate it. If you have your Bibles at home and you're reading along, I would like for you to turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And, of course, I want to take this opportunity now to thank people. I want to thank again Doug for coming in today. And I want to thank the deacons. The deacons got onto this early on. As a matter of fact, when the governor made the decision Wednesday, the deacons were already praying and considering what we were going to do. And they've been praying all this week and thinking about it. And they have been planning and waiting patiently to decide. And so I'm so thankful for their leadership and everything that they've done during this time. But we are continuing our series. We've only got a couple weeks left. This is the next to last week that we will have on this series looking at these traits, these character traits. You know, our goal for this year is to finish up looking at the vision, the 2020 vision, and seeing Jesus in our lives. And we know that we're going to see Jesus the more we reflect His characteristics in our life. Well, what are those characteristics? Well, we've been talking about that since the first of the year. And so today we're going to look at this next characteristic, and it is the characteristic of courage. I think the timing on this is perfect, especially in light of the current day's events that we're dealing with right now, having courage in the light of everything that is happening. So courage. And to find courage, we're going to turn to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. When my children were small, my wife Lisa, I remember her saying there was two things that she said to them just about every day before they went to school, all through kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, into high school. She would always say the same thing, and they'll know this, but the first thing she would say is make sure that you let your light shine. And the second thing that she would say, which she would quote Joshua 1:9, and she would tell them this, "Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We're going to read this passage here together, and then I'll pray. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites and west of the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will never leave you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that everything you may carefully observe, everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get provisions ready for yourselves, for within 3 days you will be crossing the Jordan to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to inherit. Let us pray, and then we'll come back to this passage. Father, we just thank you so much, God, that you are God, Father, and that you are in control, and that you are bigger than anything that we're going to face ever in this life, anything in this world, including this world, Father. And God, I just pray that we will continue to remember that. God, I just thank you for the opportunity we have to share your word through this podcast. And Father, I pray, God, that through this morning, people will be lifted up. People will see you and see Jesus work in their lives. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. One of the greatest books in the middle 2000s was a book, a business book, written by Jim Collins. It was a book entitled Good to Great, Why Some Companies Make the Leap and Others Don't. And in this book, Jim Collins led a research team to study businesses in America, and specifically the businesses that successfully transformed from being mediocre to excellent. And one of the important factors that Collins and his team found was that companies that were content to be simply good never achieved greatness. I want to repeat that. Companies that were content to simply be good never achieved greatness. So and what he discovered in this, and kind of the sum of the first part of this book, was this, that goodness, in this case, is the enemy of greatness. When people just accept the status quo and just to be good, it becomes the enemy of what they could be in greatness. And as we look at the book of Joshua, if you ever read it, Joshua is a very exciting book. It's a very exciting novel. It's an action novel, really. And in this book, we see the details of how we move and the keys to success from moving from goodness to greatness. What are the keys to successful Christian living? What are the keys to facing challenges and having courage in God? Well, we see this in the book of Joshua. Now, to set the book of Joshua in context, I want to share a little history with you. And there's nobody in this room, aside from Doug, to protest right now. So there's nobody that can say they don't want to hear this, so I'm just going to go with this. To put the book of Joshua in context, we need to look at a little history. And what is that history? It is the movement of the people of Israel from Egypt. And really, if you look at it, there was 5 steps to their journey. The first step was that they were in Egypt. In Egypt, they were lost, and they were in bondage. As a matter of fact, in Egypt, when Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt, he brought his family there to Egypt. The Israelites were fruitful and multiplied, but after 400 years, the Pharaoh in charge had forgotten about Joseph. And by this time, the Israelites had been reduced to slavery at the hands of the Egyptians. That was the first place that the people of Israel were at. The second place that they were at was in the Exodus. They were delivered. God chose Moses to go before Pharaoh, and Moses talked to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh let his people go, and the people were delivered from their bondage. And the third place that they were at was in the wilderness. They were traveling through the wilderness during this time. They were learning about God. They were growing in their experience of God. Moses was teaching them about what God was like. And you look at Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and that's really what's going on during that process. People are growing in their maturity with God. And then the last thing that we see, well, actually the fourth thing that we see here, is that people went into the promised land. They went into Canaan. And then the fifth thing was they arrived at a place called Kadesh Barnea. Now, through these five processes of the journey that the people of Israel took, I think we see the journey that we all take. This is the spiritual journey that we all take during this time. At some point in time, we are in Egypt. We are lost. We are removed from God. We are in bondage. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are delivered from our sin. We are delivered from our bondage. We experience what the people of Israel experience, that they are delivered from this time of lostness and brokenness. And then we move into this wilderness. This spiritual journey takes us into a time where we're growing in God and we're understanding God. But the problem is, a lot of times we as Christians stay in that wilderness. As a matter of fact, the journey from Egypt to Israel was only supposed to take 11 days. It wound up taking years and years and years. Why did it take so long? Because the people never really grew in the maturity of knowing God. They grumbled, they whined, they complained, they had all these setbacks. And a lot of times we as Christians remain in that wilderness because we never really grow in the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people that are Christians and they tell me, you know, and they say, you know what, the Christian life is just boring. I get no satisfaction. I experience no victory in the Christian life. And they don't realize that really God never intended us for us to stay in this spot in our maturity. He didn't intend for us to stay all the time in the wilderness. God intended for us to move into the promised land, into Canaan. That's what Canaan is. So many times maybe as we as Christians misunderstand that Canaan is heaven, and that's where we're journeying toward. That's where we're going to, but that's not where Canaan is. As a matter of fact, in 1787, a minister named Samuel Stennett wrote a hymn called On Jordan's Stormy Banks, and the lyrics go like this. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Nothing wrong with that, but the last stanza makes it clear that Samuel Stennett thought Canaan was heaven, because he said this: when shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Savior's face and in his bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. But Canaan doesn't represent heaven. Canaan represents where God intends you and I to live as Christians here on this earth. And where is that? In victory in Jesus Christ. That is where God intends for us to be. But there's one final place that we arrive at in our spiritual journey, and that is a place called Kadesh Barnea. And if you look at Numbers 13 through 14, the people of Israel arrived at the gate of the promised land at a place called Kadesh Barnea. And when they arrived there, Moses pointed out two spies, actually 12 spies, that I want to go into the promised land and see if it's not everything that God has promised. And they came back. And 10 of them said, boy, it is everything that God promised it would be. It is amazing. It is awesome. But we're never getting in there. And the reason why we're never getting in there is because there's giants between us and them, and we are going to be squashed like bugs. We will never get into the promised land. And they were defeated. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, I believe we can do it. Why would God bring us all this way? Why would God promise this land and never deliver it to us? We need to do it. So there at Kadesh Barnea, they had what was the first business meeting. And at that business meeting, Moses said, okay, all in favor of going into the promised land, say aye. And only two raised their hands, Joshua and Caleb. All those that are opposed to going into the promised land, say nay. And everybody else said nay. And that, at Kadesh Barnea, is where they made their decision to choose to believe what they really thought they believed about God. And I want to pause here for a second before we go on, because I believe that you and I believe as a church that we have arrived at Kadesh Barnea. And I believe we need to ask ourselves right now, what do we really and truly believe about God? In the face of the current events that we are experiencing and facing right now in our day and time, what do we really believe about God? That is a key question to how we will proceed forward. And I believe the key to success here is to believe these things about God. Let's look at what Joshua said here. Let's look at what the people found to be true here as we look in Joshua. As we come back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 and 9, let's read it again. In verses 5 and 9, it says this, "No one will be able to stand against you as long as I live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you." And then in verse 9, it says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I will never leave you or abandon you. I will be with you wherever you go." I believe in order to succeed in the days ahead, we need to make sure that we confirm in our lives, we need to make this decision right now that I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, no matter what happens tomorrow, that God is going to be with me, that God is going to be present with me. It is going to make all the difference to our success that we will never give up believing that God is with me. Several years ago, I heard a story about a family whose husband got a job from, they lived in Michigan, he got a job in Southern California. So they were planning on moving from Michigan to Southern California. They got everything loaded up. There was a moving truck, moving company that came, moved most of their stuff out. This family was going to fly out, but they had some odds and ends that they needed to load up in a small truck and have somebody bring them out from Michigan to Southern California. That somebody wound up being this young man's grandmother, this husband's grandmother. And they didn't know if they should let her do it. She'd never driven cross-country before, but she was kind of excited about wanting to do it. So this family got on a plane, and they went out and flew out to Southern California, and they decided they let their grandmother drive the rest of their stuff all the way to California from Michigan. Well, 2 weeks before she was supposed to start out, she broke her left arm. And she had to put that in a cast. Should they still continue to go on with this plan or not? They decided they were going to go on with the plan. Well, one sunny night, she headed out, driving from Michigan. She drove through Indiana. She all came down all through southern. And West Texas, as her journey took her through West Texas, she stopped one day because she was really tired. She took a nap at a rest stop. When she woke up, she was still pretty tired. And so she decided to go into a truck stop to get some coffee. And while she was in a truck stop, a trucker came up to her and said, "Thank goodness." He said, "Are you the lady who's driving the white truck with the Michigan plates?" She was kind of leery that he would approach her like this, but she said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Don't get nervous." He said, "I'm asking for a reason." He said, "We just wanted to make sure that we found you. If you could stay right here for a moment, I need to go make a phone call and come right back." And so she stayed inside the store wondering what was going on. When he came back in, he said, "Well, I just want to let you know that when you headed out in Michigan, a trucker saw you, saw that you were having trouble, and he began to get a little nervous. And he said, I'm going to stay with her and watch her. And when he could go as far as he could go, he called somebody else and asked that trucker to watch you the rest of your journey. And we have been passing you on down. Actually, we have nicknamed you Granny. And everybody's been watching out for Granny, and we thought we had lost you, and I just found you, and I wanted to call somebody and let them know that you were okay and that we can continue to watch you." Well, that completely changed her journey. No longer was she nervous. When she saw somebody in 18-wheeler, she'd smile and she'd wave, because now she knew that somebody was watching over her, that somebody was going to make sure she arrived safely at her destination. I was going to show you a picture here today. Hazel's doing something I just absolutely adore. I can't show you the picture because you're not here, but I tell you what I will do. I'll post it on Facebook tomorrow or Monday, and you can know why it's out there, and you can realize that because you listen to the podcast, you'll know why the picture will be out there. But there's a picture of Hazel that I went to see her yesterday, and Hazel's doing something now that I just absolutely adore. Hazel was asleep. And she had just woken up, and Sarah gave her to me, and I took Hazel, and when I took Hazel, she laid her head on my shoulder. And she just looked in the camera. She was still kind of half asleep, you know, just kind of groggy, a little fussy waking up, but she laid her head on my shoulder, and she's been doing that. Like, she knows, you know, I choose to believe that she knows, hey, Poppy's got me, and everything's going to be okay. But I want you to know right now, God has us, and everything's going to be okay. If we're going to be successful in the days ahead, we can never give up believing and knowing to not be afraid, because God is with us wherever we go. The second thing that you and I need to know here today is this. We need to know that in the face of these challenges, we need to have courage. In the face of these challenges, we need to have courage. Look with me again at verses 6 and 7. It says, "Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go." Wherever you go, you will have success. I want to tell you, and you know this, don't you? Courage is very hard to define. Now, some synonyms to courage are guts, grit, backbone, fearlessness, bravery, valor, and confidence. But courage is a lot like humility. If you claim to have it, you probably don't. It's like that guy who bragged that he had cut off the tail of a man-eating lion with nothing but a pocket knife, and he had the tail to prove it. When someone asked him why he didn't cut the lion's head off if he was so brave, the man admitted, well, somebody else had already done that. I'm getting the same response I normally do when this is full on Sunday mornings. Nobody laughs, but we'll move on. I always laugh. But courage is not realized until the moment we need it. And in that moment, you discover you either have it or you don't. A little boy picking up 5 smooth stones and walking toward a giant with nothing but a slingshot in his hand, that's courage. Moses standing in front of Pharaoh and saying, "Let my people go," that's courage. Elijah standing on a mountain calling down fire from heaven against 450 false prophets, that's courage. Men storming the beaches at Normandy, that's courage. A teenager refusing to do something because people are asking him to, even when they know it's wrong, to say no to that or no to this, that is courage. You and I standing up in the face of fear and refusing to believe that God is not still with us. That is courage. That is courage. I mentioned David Livingston a few weeks ago. And David Livingston, of course, was that missionary that went to Africa from Britain. And there was a British missionary society that contacted David Livingston. And they wrote to him this: "Have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we will send other men to join you." At that, Livingston wrote back, "If you have men who will come only if there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all." That's courage. The longer I go in my journey with God, the more I realize that Christianity is not for the faint-hearted. You know, we had a man in our congregation by the name of George Young. I can still see him sitting over there to this day, but George passed away several months ago. And one of the things George Young loved to say, and I can still hear him say that, he said, "Eddie, you know, getting old is not for sissies." And I agree with that. But I can add to that, that being a Christian is not for sissies either. We face challenges. We face times where it's uncertain. You know, one of the things I'm seeing today is I'm not seeing panic in people's faces. I'm not seeing a lot of fear in people's faces. But what I am seeing is this. I'm seeing uncertainty. People just don't know what's going to happen this week. How bad is it really going to get? We just don't know. There's uncertainty. And in the face of uncertainty, in the face of the challenges that we are facing right now, I believe you and I need to stand up and say, we will trust. We will have courage in the face of this challenge that we're going through right now. That is the key to success. Knowing that God will never leave us, knowing that we can have courage in the face of what's going on, and finally here today, the last thing that Joshua says here is this: we must have obedience to God's word. In verses 7 through 8, it says, above all, be strong and courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. God warned Joshua twice here that the only way we're going to be successful is when we pay attention to God's word. How do we pay attention to God's word? Well, first of all, we must speak it. I want to issue a challenge. I'd like to ask you to do something this coming week, because I believe that people need to hear it. People need to hear this from Christians today. So this coming week on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is that you use, email, or in some way that you have to communicate this week, here's what I would like for you to do. I would like for you to speak God's word. People need to hear that there is hope in Jesus Christ. People need to hear that in the face of uncertainty, God is still God and there is nothing bigger than God. We can trust Him to be faithful. We can trust Him to be good. We can trust Him to do what is right. So would you post Scripture and speak God's word this week? The second thing that we need to do here, if we're going to pay attention to God's word, is we need to meditate on it. This means to keep it in your mind and mull over it again and again and again. If you're anything like me, I got to tell you, I know God's word, I've read God's word, but I got to tell you, a lot of times I need to remind myself to live God's word. I need to remind myself that I need to meditate on this. I need to remember just as much as anybody else that there is hope in Jesus Christ, that we can trust God, that God is in control. And so we need to meditate on God's word. And the last thing that we need to do is we need to obey God's word. We need to make sure that we're speaking it, that we're meditating on it, and that we obey God's word. God's command to Joshua was simple: go in and claim the land. If you want to take a quantum leap from good to great, then you need to decide that you are going to choose to obey God's word in every area of your life. And I want to close with this. You know, J. Vernon McGee had a radio program, wrote many things. I still have J. Vernon McGee's entire library in my library. I love to listen to J. Vernon McGee. J. Vernon McGee once told years ago about a person from Britain who moved to America. And soon after he arrived, he dropped out of sight and his family in England lost contact with him. Not long after he arrived, his uncle in England died and left him about $5 million. And Scotland Yard set out to try to find this man and to give him his inheritance. They searched for him, but they never found him. Later, the man was found to be frozen to death in a doorway of a cheap hotel in Chicago. He couldn't even afford the few bucks that it took to rent a room, although he was the heir of millions. He never laid hold of what was his. Many Christians live the same way. We never lay hold on what is ours. God has promised to be with us. God has promised to watch over us. God has promised us victory in Jesus Christ. We are at Kadesh Barnea. We are at the point of a decision on what we really and truly believe about God. And what we decide to do next will determine the fulfillment of God's promise to us. Will you join me here today, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, not knowing what's going to happen this week, not knowing what the stock market's going to do, not knowing what our retirement fund will look like at the end of the week, not knowing how that diagnosis of the coronavirus is going to go, will you join me right here today in saying at Kadesh Barnea that no matter what, we will be strong and courageous. We will not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord is with us wherever we go. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I pray right now, God, that your word will be buried deep in my heart. God, that I can remember these words, that you have commanded us to be strong and courageous. You have commanded us to not be afraid or discouraged. You have reminded us, God, that you're with us wherever we go. And Father, I pray, God, that that will become the cadence by which we march by. Father, that will become the decision by which we live by. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you that you're faithful and that you love us. God, I pray every person listening to the sound of my voice right now may know victory in you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.